Loving Father, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, and nourish us in Jesus Christ, the living bread. And beyond a human voice this morning, may we hear your voice. Amen. Please be seated. In pondering our gospel reading this past week, I could not help but be reminded of one of C.S. Lewis's wonderful characters by the name of Mrs. Fidget. We meet Mrs. Fidget in Lewis's book, The Four Loves. I won't read the entire section, but just a snippet from the life of Mrs. Fidget. Mrs. Fidget very often said that she lived for her family, and it was not untrue. Everyone in the neighborhood knew it. She lives for her family, they said. What a wife and mother. For Mrs. Fidget, as she so often said, would work her fingers to the bone for her family. They couldn't stop her. Nor could they, being decent people, quietly sit still and watch her do it. They had to help. Indeed, they were always having to help. That is, they did things for her to help her to do things for them, which they didn't want done. And the vicar said, Mrs. Fidget is now at rest. Let us hope she is. What's quite certain is that her family are. I call this morning's message Mrs. Fidget's Kitchen. You know the story. Jesus and his 12 disciples are making their final approach to Jerusalem, where the Savior will die. And on their way to Jerusalem, they stop off at Bethany, a little village just a mile and a half east of Jerusalem on the southeast slope of the Mount of Olives. And they stop at Martha's house. That's what the text says. It is Martha's house, where she lives with her sister Mary and brother, also Lazarus. And I don't know how to describe Martha, but she is a force. She is a force to be reckoned with. Martha knows what's good for you. Martha knows what it is that you need. Wherever Martha appears in the Gospels, Martha, it seems that she's always the first one to speak. She's always the first one to take action. She's always the first one to say what is on her mind. Martha is in control. For instance, in John chapter 11, Martha says to our Lord Jesus, she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha knows what is good for people, and she'll do it for them. You know the story. The doorbell rings. And there on Martha's front step stand Jesus and the 12 disciples. Now, some of those disciples, they are fishermen from the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, they're men pulling in heavy nets. And I can imagine that Simon Peter can eat a horse. And it's time for dinner. And this is Martha's golden moment. This is a time for Martha to shine as the Lord is here and she's going to fix a feast for Jesus. And she's off to the kitchen. And Mary, her sister, well, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, Mary could have been sitting anywhere, really, because that is a Hebrew expression. To sit at someone's feet is to have someone as your teacher, to be their student, to be devoted to learning from them. It's used in Acts chapter 22 of the Apostle Paul, the young Saul of Tarsus, as he travels all the way down from modern Turkey to Jerusalem, where he sits at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the age. And so Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. She is absorbed in his words because she knows that he has the words of life. While Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, Martha is off in the kitchen and she's working. Time is running out. She's fixing a feast, and If you read between the lines, you have to see that Martha is getting angry. I could use some help in here. Here I am, always working my fingers to the bone. I wonder if anyone in there might help me. I can imagine that cupboard doors are slamming and pots are rattling. I could use some help in here. And finally, Martha can take it no longer, and she bursts into the living room. She knows what Jesus needs. She knows what Jesus wants. And instead of going to her sister Mary, where does she go? She goes to Jesus. And she says, "Lord, don't you care?" Now, she poses it as a question, but it's really a statement. You don't care. We see the same thing happening over in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is on the sea with his 12 disciples in the midst of a storm. And his disciples are afraid, and Jesus is sleeping on a cushion in the stern of the boat. And it says that the disciples go to Jesus, and they wake him, and they say, "Don't you care?" In other words, you don't care, you're dying. And Martha bursts into the living room, and she says to Jesus, in essence, "You don't care that I'm trying to do all this for you." And she goes from accusing Jesus, then to trying to control him. She says, "You tell Mary to help me. I know what's good for you. I'm trying to fix a feast for you. And I'm not getting any help." And then Jesus says something. He says, "Martha, Martha." Now, you have to understand that in that Hebrew culture, to repeat a name twice is an expression of intimacy and love. For instance, back in Genesis 22, just as Abraham is getting ready to sink the knife into his son Isaac, the Lord God says, "Abraham, Abraham." At the burning bush, God says, "Moses, Moses." To the boy in the middle of the night, God says, "Samuel, Samuel." David crying over his son, "Absalom, Absalom." Jesus weeping over the city, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And just at this moment, as Martha has blown her gasket, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." I never cease to be amazed at the gentleness and the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." There's a lot of things going on in the kitchen. "You are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." Martha, if you really understood what was going on in this room at this moment, you would know that, you know, all I need is a bagel and cream cheese, really. Just one thing is needed. He says, Mary has chosen the better part. Now, it's hinted at in our text, but that has the idea Mary has chosen the better dish. Mary has chosen the better meal. You're off there in the kitchen preparing a feast, and Mary, she really has the better dish, the better meal, as she is listening to me. And Jesus diagnoses Martha's problem. He says, you are distracted. It's a very strong word here. It has the idea of being in pieces. You've given a piece of yourself here. You've given a piece of yourself there. You've given a piece of yourself there. You are being torn apart in trying to serve me. Martha's idea of serving Jesus is tearing her apart. And Martha is sitting in peace listening to Jesus. And Martha is exploding, and Martha is blaming Jesus, and she's mad at God, and she's blaming others because don't they know that she's trying to serve Jesus? If in our serving Jesus, there is not peace, then we are standing shoulder to shoulder with Martha. As Mary is listening to that voice that integrates, that harmonizes, that puts everything into perspective, she is listening to that voice that brings peace. Everything that God wants you to do has peace attached to it. We listen to Jesus. We begin our day listening to Jesus. And I just wonder here, what ought Martha to have done? I mean, there was a meal that needed fixing. What ought Martha to have done? I think she should have asked Jesus what it is that Jesus wanted. To listen to the voice of Jesus. Notice here in the text that our Savior says of Mary, he says, she has chosen the better part. She has chosen the better dish. It was not her default position. She made a choice. If I understand Martha, that Martha's shaming and guilting look might have driven Mary into the kitchen. But she has chosen the better part, and that is of listening to Jesus. I have to acknowledge that there have been many times in my life where I have played the part of Martha. I thought I knew what Jesus needed. I thought I knew how I could best serve him. And it has usually resulted in blaming and finding fault. When Jesus wants us to listen to his voice. By the way, what happened? It doesn't tell us what happened. It doesn't tell us what Martha did. And I think as it just goes like a movie or to a TV program, it fades to black. I think that is because the end of the story is about you. And it's about me. And it is about listening to Jesus and finding out what it is that Jesus wants us to do in our service to Him. In another context, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 14, he says, "The kingdom of God is not food or drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." When God calls you to do something, there is joy and peace attached to it. Jesus has come, "Follow me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.